And so that's why we made it. Yes, all the logistics of polling an audience, creating an offer, all of that kind of shit. But really, we made it because there was never another option not to.
Welcome back to another episode of the Making Magic podcast. I'm Sean Jay, your host, and I'm a professional magician, speaker, and 3D designer. And this is all about inspiring conversations with the movers, the shakers, the visionaries, and the makers, the wizards behind the curtain that make the magic for you. Now, if this is your first time tuning into the show, thank you so much for doing so. It really does mean a lot to me because I put a lot of hard work into each and every one of these episodes. Whether you're listening to the sound of my voice on any one of the popular podcast apps or on YouTube, hopefully you'll decide if you're a podcast type of person that you'll follow the show. Follow me along for the ride and leave a healthy review of the show. And if you're here on YouTube, feel free to give this show a thumbs up, comment below, turn on the notification bell, and subscribe. You guys know what to do because I'm all about getting your creative gears turning. And that's what this show is all about. Whether you feel like you're stuck with a certain thought pattern and you want to break out of your current thought pattern, if you feel boxed in and trying to be inspired to think in new ways, well, I've got some of the world's most creative people that are sharing their process with you on this show. So I hope you decide to join me on the journey, and I'll be releasing episodes like every week now. So I hope you guys are enjoying this stuff. So with all that being said, let's learn a little bit more about our next guest. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Making Magic podcast. Today we have Jill Stanton, and Jill is the creator of the Millionaire Girls Club, where she hosts luxury retreats for women entrepreneurs who are making over $1 million and are craving wild expansion and deep connection with other women entrepreneurs, other powerful women. And when she's not CEOing, she can be found traveling the world with her husband Josh and their little guy Kai. So Jill Stanton, welcome to the Making Magic podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
Yes, this is going to be a fun chat. We're going to dive deep, as always, on the show. This isn't any of the superficial what you have for lunch conversations. This is going to be a conversation of value. And I have you on the show here because you're not a prop builder like some of the other people that I've interviewed, but you are a build. You and your husband build things and create things. And in fact, you guys are big into online course creation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And yep, and not only online course creation, but you created the Millionaire Girls Club. So we're going to talk about those things, and hopefully some of the backstory behind this will be inspiring and valuable to people that are looking to just screw the 9-to-5 and move into an area where they just want to follow their passion and have this passion product or course or information that they have in their mind that they want to get out to the world. So I always like to start off with a story, Jill. So can you tell us a story of the very first thing that you've created? And I'm going to assume it's like an online course, or maybe the Millionaire Girls Club is the first venture.
No, that is okay. Most certainly not the first thing I created. Okay. So I assume we're talking in business and not like yes. When I was 7 and made a backyard carnival. So
yes.
So mine and Josh's, well, I started my first profitable business with my husband back in late 2011, early 2012. And this is the days of like when you could still rank on Google really easily with some like long tail keywords. And so our first business together was a network of affiliate sites. And we built that up in all different niches, from skincare to beauty to personal supplements, personal hygiene, high heels, weight loss, like all the things. And that's how we really started making our first like bout of cash together. It's how we hit our first 6 figures. And as we really started to get that rolling, and we were traveling heaps and living our best lives, a lot of people started asking, like, what are you guys doing for money? Like, how do you make money? You're not working jobs. Like, you barely work. laughs. What are you, drug dealers? And so it was actually on our wedding week in Costa Rica in late 2012 that we had the idea for Screw the 9-to-5, because we were about to move over to Southeast Asia, Thailand specifically, because there was a big digital nomad community there. And we just started talking about documenting our travels, our journeys, so we could stop answering the same questions over and over. And I remember Josh being like, yeah, we should have this like cool site that like shares our lifestyle and our journey, but what would we call it? And thanks to it being our wedding week and being in Costa Rica, we were a couple Costa Rican rums deep. And I was just like, screw the 9-to-5. And both of us were like, I wonder if that's available. And it was, and we hopped on it and got it. But we didn't really know what to do, because before that, we had never really had a personal brand. We had only ever had these affiliate sites. I wasn't even writing under my own name. I had a pen name. And so we kind of floundered with that. And so our first product that we created under that brand was a course that sold actually $0. In fact, we lost $5,000 on that course. Wow. These are the days before like Thinkific or Kajabi, when you had to create this whole like custom backend learning management system. And so that was one, super defeating. And two, the best thing that ever happened to us up until that point in entrepreneurship, because it taught us one of the most critical lessons that we've learned, or that we did learn up until that point, which was pre-sell your idea, make sure people actually want it, and ask people what they actually want to learn from you. And once we realized that, then we kind of did a sharp left turn, started teaching affiliate marketing, since that's what our audience wanted to know. And then from there, everything started to roll for us.
Which then, okay, this is all good. Which then begs the question, at least for me, is where did you get that audience from initially?
Yeah, so that was just like us sharing our journey on social media, on our social media. And then we were guest blogging heaps. We were doing a lot of content marketing. We were doing a lot of guest podcasts. We were just hustling, trying to get the word out there. I mean, this is 2012, before competition was like what it is now. And there weren't too many people in this, that was 2013. Still very early on in the game. I think there was just like the Pat Flynn's, the DSGs, JLDs, Amy Porterfields of the world, Marie Forleo's. And so it wasn't as steep as it is right now, or as stiff of competition as it is now. And so we just hustled to get our names out there. But like our list was 200 people when we actually sold the program, or didn't sell the program. And so it was just a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and time and effort.
Mm. Wow. Okay. So everybody that's watching and listening just needs to understand that I don't think there's any shortcut to this method, unless you just happen to get lucky for some bizarre reason. 9 times out of 10, it just requires your effort to get the boulder rolling down the hill. And then once it starts rolling, then other things will domino effect off that.
Absolutely. I don't know anyone who's found a shortcut or who has gotten lucky in this space. Everyone has just grinded until it worked, until they found something that clicked.
Got it. So you spend a lot of time on the computer then, you and your husband?
I used to. Now I'm like, my life is very different now. The structure of our business is different. I've created my own business outside of mine and Josh's. And so my life is much more spacious now, thank God.
That's good. No, that's good that you're in a space to do that, especially with a boy there, right?
Yes, a tiny human who is very active.
Tiny human, of course. Active, I think he gets that from his mom, the active the level of
probably
activity.
Probably more of his dad.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, it runs in the family then. He'll probably be the future of millennial entrepreneurs.
Let's hope.
Millennial or Gen, I don't know what Gen it is, but anyways.
I have no clue anymore.
So the reason, I think you answered a couple of my next questions. The reason why you made it is because you found a demand by pinging your audience initially. And then it was just like, let's see if we can meet that demand based on what they're requesting.
Yeah, I mean, we made it because we never gave up. We made it because there was no plan B. We made it because I can't even imagine having a job. Like, I was the world's worst employee that you could possibly have. Both myself and Josh hate being told what to do. And so that's why we made it. Yes, all the logistics of polling an audience, creating an offer, all of that kind of shit. But really, we made it because there was never another option not to.
Yeah, that right there is probably the one thing. Like, if everybody can just put themselves in that mindset, there's no other option, then things, I think, will, the magic and the things will start to open up, because usually options create safety, and safety is good in ways, but if you're trying to grow something and explode with it, safety, generally speaking, doesn't get those results, right? All profit is derived from risk.
I like that.
That's not my quote. I think that's Peter Drucker, I think, who's business philosopher. But hey, I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. I think we all are standing on the shoulders of giants. There'd be nothing without the internet for your business, right? You're relying on the giants that created the internet. So,
of course.
Exactly. So what if we were to go back in a magic time machine with Jill and Josh, or maybe just you can share, is there anything that you would have told your younger self earlier on to prevent you from making the mistakes that you did along the way, along your journey?
I would just say it's all happening exactly as it's supposed to, and it's all happening for you. So like, specifically with our business with Screw the 9-to-5 and Wealthy Course Creator, but more specifically for my business with Millionaire Girls Club, because I had a lot of struggles. Like, that business was born out of a desire to really create strong female friendships, and my past was anything but that. And so I had, you know, 10 straight years, if not more, of really intense, like, isolating, terrifying experiences with women. And so if I could go back and tell that version of myself, like, this is all on purpose, like, it's all happening for you to crack you open and create everything you're creating now, like, I don't know if I'd believe myself, but two, that's absolutely what I would have told her.
And was it stressful earlier on when you were stumbling through just learning as you go?
With Screw the 9-to-5 and WCC, or in my business?
Let's say your first business.
Yes. Every day. I think I cried or was rooted in lack or just felt so stressed and anxious almost every single day of the first probably 2 to 3 years of our business. Like, it just, those first 3 years where you're getting a business off the ground, they are some of the most tumultuous, emotional, uncertain, shaky times that you could possibly have. But it's also in those moments where you build your emotional fitness and your resilience and your desire to keep moving forward. I think that those first 3 years will really make or break pretty much anyone. I feel like if you can't handle it, that's where you give up. And if you can handle it, that's where you really persevere and find your way through to the other side. Because those first 3 years, you're just like, you're a baby entrepreneur, you know, your like legs are shaky. You're trying to figure this whole thing out. You're trying to learn how to make money, like improve your mindset around money, around making it, earning it, saving it, spending it, investing it, you know, managing it, all of that kind of stuff. And so those first 3 years, they're just, they're intense. But if you can make it through that, you can do anything, I'd say.
Trial by fire. And you came out of that fire. The fire has transformed you and your husband into better entrepreneurs, and look where you are now. So there's something to be said about that, folks. Something to be said about just grinding it out and just having that. And when you were in that position, you still had the vision. It was like every day you knew what your vision was, which helped drive you through all of that crap, basically.
Well, in the first few years, like our purpose or our focus was to make money. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend we had this like outrageous why and North Star and any of that. Like, we're in our early 30s. Well, I was in my early 30s. Josh was in his late 20s. Like, we wanted to make money and live the kind of lifestyle we wanted to live. It was a very like, quote unquote, selfish pursuit at that point. Yes, we wanted to create something really rad and help people, but our main focus was to take care of our livelihood and create something that mattered to us. And so, yes, I'm on the other side of that now. And yes, I have a North Star now, but that's not necessarily how it started, if I'm just keeping it real. And I think a lot of people feel like they have to say that, oh my God, I started with this like burning why. For me, we wanted to make money, travel the world, and live a good life. That's where it stemmed from for us. And so all the problems or obstacles or challenges we had to navigate, like, we had this deep desire to figure it out because we were never going to go get jobs. Like, that was just never going to be our path. And so we had no choice but to figure it out. And so our level of resourcefulness or our dedication to what we were doing is simply because we had that desire to keep moving forward. I'm so sorry. My son has just run into this room. And so if he's loud, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. He's making his own performance behind
you. He's just letting you know he's here.
Making his presence known. That's okay. I heard a little bit, but it's not too crazy. It's not too distracting. I'm fine. This all good points that you made. I like that too, like, because people, I think that there's probably a huge chunk of people that don't even start anything or even go pursue it because they're stuck in that mindset. Well, I don't have the driving why, or I don't have the perfect North Star. And then they're just kind of like spinning the gears until they find their whatever that is. And then by that time, they've missed the opportunity. So
I think that and the fear of people's judgment is really what fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of rejection. I think those three things are what really stop someone from going for it rather than just having a strong why. Like, you would be amazed. Well, you probably wouldn't. You probably encounter this all the time, but I am always amazed at how many people hold themselves back due to that, which I understand, like, it's a primitive thing, but it absolutely stops more people from chasing their dreams than not.
Yes, that was actually my initial feelings about this whole show that I'm doing now, and I just kind of threw myself into it with no other option, and it's just slowly growing into this lovely thing. So right there is one example. Your first business is another example. Just giving yourself no other option and just saying, this is it. These are my goals, and somehow we're going to figure this out. Screw the 9 to 5.
Yeah.
So what about something that you have recently made? Is the Millionaire Girls Club more of a recent creation of yours in the timeline of Jill? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I had the idea for it in 2019, but I sat on it for 2 years because I was way too intimidated by the vision. As I had mentioned, I had had a really tumultuous, like, very hardcore experience with girls in my most formative years, from like 10 till, or no, grade three, so 8 until 18, 19. And so then to have a vision to create a experience and container for powerful women, like, I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. But I just couldn't shake it. Over 2 years, it never left me. And so finally I got out of my own way at the beginning of 2021 and finally pulled the trigger on it. And then I hosted my first retreat in March 2022 this year. And once I experienced it, like, I went into it thinking, I'm not going to do it again. Like, it's so weird to host retreats during COVID times and blah, blah, blah. I just made all these excuses because I was just so scared of it. But then once I actually got there and I experienced it, and the women were amazing, and it was the most effortless, fun, aligned, enjoyable, connected, intentional healing thing I had ever done. And once I experienced that, I was all in. And so I came back from that. And over the next 3 months was quite a confusing time for me because I wasn't expecting to love it so much. And I had built this business with Josh, and all of a sudden I wanted out of it. And so that was a very confusing time for me because I was like, what is happening to me? But in July, or like mid-June, Josh looked at me after one of my many tear-filled breakdowns and just said to me, like, I think this is your sign. It's time for you to go all in on MGC and leave Screw the 9-to-5 and WCC. Now, I still have some involvement in it, but he runs the team, the operations, the sales, the marketing, all of that kind of stuff. I do like 2 coaching calls a month, but outside of that, I'm all in on MGC. And so, it's like the greatest honor of my life to host that and curate that crew.
I probably part of the a big reason why that just worked out so well for you is because you were the only one bold enough to actually do it. Because it's a pretty it's a pretty bold, like, you know, I checked out the website. The website's pretty cut to the chase. It's like, this is the questionnaire. You either make the cut or you don't make the cut.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, I would think that would be like the number one fear of just not doing it at all. Fear of thinking, oh my goodness, is this just way too specific? Is this just going to weed everybody out? Are there going to be people that are actually going to want to, you know, be okay with this, spending that kind of money? And sure enough, well, I guess what it's done is just created this micro niche, super tight funnel that only a very select few can fit through, I guess, right?
Well, it's taken me a while to get clear on it. So I'm very clear on who it's for. I mean, obviously the name says who it's for. It's for women who make a million plus. But I'm very clear on how I want it to fill. And the only way I want it to fill is through conversations, connections, and referrals from the women who have already come to my stuff. And so I'm not looking to serve everyone. This is most certainly not a retreat that would vibe with everyone. It's for, you know, the bad bitches who don't mind, who don't take themselves too seriously, who make a ton of money, who want to disconnect from the daily demands of their lives, who want to get like politely up during our time together, who just want to like let loose and indulge in some revelry and deep conversations and be around expansive thinkers and amazing women. And so it's very like the people who get triggered by that are never going to apply to this. And I just have an intentional enrollment process for it. Like I make sure that I talk to everyone. If they come in through referrals, I'm talking to that person. Why do you think that they're a good fit? And I've said no to people as well. Like I'm very clear on who it's for. Mm-hmm. I'm very clear that one of the main values of this experience is the privacy and the safety to be vulnerable and to talk about the shit that, you know, most people feel like they can't talk about online or to their families or to their, you know, 9-to-5 or friends, if they even have any. And so it's for a very select person, which sounds intimidating, but I've found is just like the only way to roll for me, at least for this particular business. So, and I'm sure it'll just continue to evolve. I mean, I'm only gearing up for my second retreat, so I'm open to evolving how that grows, who it calls in, the experiences we create, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And also I've just noticed this pattern just based on your story that you shared thus far. You and your husband went from really broad with doing the affiliate with all of these things to like really specific now, which is nice. It seems like you all found the specificity over time just by experimentation, because you said you didn't have it right out the gate.
That's true. With Screw the 9-to-5, it was never known for one thing. That was, I think, was probably our biggest challenge with it, is we struggled with narrowing down to one thing because we didn't do just one thing. We had a membership and courses and coaching and live events and affiliate marketing and all this kind of stuff. And so we struggled to be known for one thing. And Screw the 9-to-5 is more of like a emphatic kind of brand, you know. It started calling in people who were like, if my boss yells at me one more time, I'm gonna quit. And so we realized like, oh, wait a second, this is actually presenting us with an opportunity to further refine who this is for, upgrade our brand messaging, our target customer, our offers, all of that kind of stuff. And once we realized that, it was like all systems go. We changed our brand name to Wealthy Course Creator, very specific as to who it's for. Course creators and coaches who do live launches or high ticket evergreen funnels. And that's about it.
It's easy as that. The way you say it, it just makes it sound so easy.
Easy as that after like 10 years or like 8 years of struggling to figure it out.
Exactly. The same 10 with performers, the analogy is takes 10. Well, a lot of things. It takes 10 years to become an overnight success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And on these, on these retreats, you said, you know, you're focusing on the experience as this very private, intimate experience with these women there. What can you give a summary of what a typical experience would be?
Yeah. I mean, so they change each time. Okay. But my Costa Rica one, so that was just my first one. So I didn't know what to expect, but my first one, day one, everyone arrived. We had like a little welcome soiree. Day two was a luxury like yacht cruise through the islands and snorkeling and a picnic beach, or excuse me, a picnic lunch on this deserted beach or private beach. And then we had dinner, and then this third day was like zip lining and spa experiences and helicopter rides. And then the fourth day, or where am I at? Fourth day was more of an inner healing kind of inner game kind of day, then a pool party, then a blowout beach party, dance party kind of thing for our final dinner. And then on day five, everyone left.
Wow.
It was awesome. That's it was so much fun.
Explosion of just nonstop, just activity and stimulation.
It was a lot. I'm streamlining this next experience to take out some of the, like, that was my biggest piece of feedback from women. It was like, it was a lot. And so just giving people more space so that they're not exhausted after their vacation. So, but good problems to solve.
Very good problems to solve. Yeah. Mm. Wow. Okay. That, I mean, that all sounds absolutely amazing. So if there's anybody watching or listening that happens to fit in that category, definitely check out Millionaire Girls Club.
No boys allowed.
No boys allowed. Just girls only. Leave your husband at home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Leave your kids behind. Do whatever.
Absolutely to that as well.
Do whatever it takes to make it work. Whatever it takes. Now, being like this multifaceted entrepreneur that entrepreneurs that you and your husband are, but we're specifically talking about Jill today. What would you say is your strong suit as a creator of content, a creator of experiences, a creator of courses?
My answer to what is my strong suit or my biggest strength is different from, like, for content or courses. My biggest strength is connections, like building relationships and curating a great group of people. That is just, I'm fortunate enough to have been given the gift of gab, and I've always been a connector. Even in my 20s, like, I would always group my friends together. I'd always host dinner parties. I always did nights out for all of us. And so that's always been something I've loved. And now I'm fortunate enough to turn that into a business, and attract some of the best women into my life. For my coaching and courses and all that kind of stuff, my greatest strength is I'm direct, and I'm very zero F's around the feedback that I give. I don't sugarcoat things just to protect feelings. If someone's coming to coach with me, I'm expecting that they want to be initiated into some sort of transformation, and they want to kind of, like, check the excuses and the nonsense at the door and really just get clear on what they want to create and who they want to become and who they need to be to experience all of that. And so outside of that, my coaching is very direct, and it's no bullshit.
Nice.
And truthfully, my content would probably be the same if I really created any. Anymore,
I can tell.
Which I don't.
Oh yeah. No, I could tell right off the bat. That's who you are. And that's nice because there's never a short supply of people that are just going to tell you how good you are and to give you a nice pat on the back. And then helpful maybe, but can it really create transformation? Nah, well, you're not picking the right, you got to be a little more specific, and it's nice to get straight to the chase. That's what I like about Jill, the Jill stand. That's good. No, that's good. It really is. It's much needed in this world. What about one of your favorite things that you've created in the past?
I would say that the program that Josh and I have right now in Inside Wealthy Course Creator is my favorite that we've ever had. Like, it gets more results for our clients than we've ever had in any of our offers. Like, just seeing people, we've now had two clients do $1 million launches with us, which is super cool. Like, we never expected that, which has been really, really rad. So we've had that program for like 14, 15 months now. And our clients have generated over $3 million. Like, it's just so cool to watch that happen. Wow. And so that's hands down. And our team is amazing. Like, they really show up for our clients. And so hands down, that's probably my favorite offer that we've created in our joint business together.
And I noticed you brought up the words team a number of times. So most people think a husband and wife counts as a team, but you have other people working for you. So how did you, how did you call together this team that worked best for you? And was that a process that took a lot of refinement over those 10 years?
Oh God. Yeah. Oh my God. We've only had our team really click for us in, well, it's been in stages. Back in 2018, Josh and I had a business model that was run or hinged on a monthly membership site that was like $70 a month. Okay. And so the team we had around that was just, they were okay. Like they were great for that stage of where we were at. But then we realized that that was no longer, that business model was no longer aligned with who we wanted to be, the kind of business we wanted to build. It took a ton of our time. We were new parents. And so we shut down everything that no longer served us in 2018 and scrapped our entire team. And we started 2019 fresh, and we just hired one VA, Chris, who's still with us now. And then after that, Christina, our number two, found us and reached out to us, and she slowly started working with us. She went from very part-time to more frequent or more consistent part-time than full-time. And now she's like our right-hand woman. I cannot imagine life without her now. She's a huge part of our family. And then from there, we brought in our head coach, Luke. And then from there, we brought in another coach. And then from there, we brought in services teams who do a lot of done-for-you services. And it's just been this perfect, or just this gradual process of finding the right people, releasing those who are no longer aligned with the business, and growing with the people who are meant for us. But when I say like we found them, not me. That is not my strength. That is not my interest at all. I am not a good manager of people. I have zero interest in processes, systems, hiring, none of that. So that is very much Josh. Josh and Christina handle all of that. And so everything that we have team-wise is 100% my husband and our right-hand woman, Christina. So I take zero credit for that.
And finding these people, what was the process to find them? Was it a long process?
Josh found Chris, our longest standing VA with us, on Upwork. Christina IG DM'd me. Luke, we had worked with previously. And then as we kind of had like a mini self-sabotage moment back in 2017, we stopped working together, brought him back on in 2020. And then the services teams came in through Upwork. And our other coaches had joined our program and then wanted to work with us in a coaching capacity, like with them as coaches on our team. And so nice. it's been like a spattering from all different platforms.
Interesting. And then it all just kind of comes together. And well, it seems like once you got the first couple of people right, it started attracting in the more right people, because the more right people you added to your team, the more right people it set the environment.
Set the tone. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing I realized with Christina coming into our world was we got very clear around who we wanted on our team, like their characteristics, their ways of being, their strengths, their weaknesses, all of that kind of stuff. And I feel like as soon as we got clear on that, like she came into our world within 6 weeks, because I remember that so clearly. She reached out in August 2019 via IGDM asking to work for us for free. And I was like, no one values free. We'll pay you for your time to see if this could go somewhere. And she was amazing. And then, like, she had never worked online. She had never done anything online. She was an engineer, but she hated her job. And so she just reached out because she loved our brand. And Josh has trained her from the ground up. And she's just become like this ace up our sleeves.
Nice, nice. A magic reference. Always like that on the Making Magic podcast.
Of course.
Since you've been through many ups and downs, both you and your husband over the years, what would you say is your biggest like epic fail moment? Like you're putting something together DIY and then just crashed and burned.
Our first ever course, hands down. I mean, it sold zero sales. It made zero sales. Like I said, it lost $5,000. And at that time, I was so green to entrepreneurship. I was so cocky. I was like, we're gonna kill it. Like I told everyone, like, oh my God, we're gonna have this huge launch. And then like nothing happened. And I was just like, I thought the whole world was watching. Like I was like, oh my God, everyone knows now. No one knew because no one cared because we were just starting out. So it was a perfect lesson in humility and just like I said, the previous lessons before of like really understanding your audience and pre-selling your ideas and not putting, you know, $5,000 into creating something you don't even know if it'll sell. So that was like most certainly our biggest flop. But again, like the most purposeful one as well, because it taught us so many hardcore lessons that we needed to know in order to get to the next phase of our business.
Well said. And what if there is there something that you were working on, maybe either you or you and your husband were working on, that was an accident, and it was just like something that happened that was a big accident, but then it turned out to be wildly successful, a happy accident?
Nothing that I can think of. Everything we've done has been pretty intentional. I mean, I guess maybe like, well, nothing was an accident. Everything was done with intention and purpose. And so maybe our like first ever Facebook group, but even then I like intentionally created that, intentionally grew it, like all of that kind of stuff. But then it blew up to like almost 50,000 members and kind of got away from me and just started becoming like a cesspool of spam. And so I was like, nah, we're going to shut that down. So that's probably like the closest thing I could think of, but
yeah,
everything we've done has been pretty purposeful.
Interesting, because I talk to a lot of people, both creatives and just straight business entrepreneurs. I hear lots of stories about things where they're tinkering with something and then they just hit on something and then you run with it. But what you're saying is, I mean, I'm sure you guys do a lot of tinkering behind the scenes with stuff,
for
right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Josh does. I do not. Like, I don't do any back end, like none of the automation, none of the systems, procedures, none of that kind of stuff. I don't mess with the funnels. I don't touch the pages, none of that. I think if I were to say anything, like with our tinkering has been, we create really funny ads. And so we've done a lot of skits. And so that started out being like, let's just make fun of the nonsense in our space and see if it works as an ad. And then it really took off. And so another thing, I guess, now that we're having this conversation is paid boot camps. Like we do a lot of paid launches. It's what our whole program is based around. Okay. And that came out of just like, screw it. Let's just try and see if it works. And it worked really well. It saved a whole affiliate launch that we were doing to have like a paid bootcamp component of it. And once we realized that we had stumbled across that, we went all in on that. And that was like the next 2 years of our business was just paid launch after paid launch after paid launch after paid launch after paid launch. And now we facilitate clients with paid launches. And so I guess if we're like now diving into it, paid launches would be probably a happy accident. But that was also really out of like the desire to no longer work with freebie seekers. And so it was like an accident, but on purpose. Like we were like, nah, we're done with freebie seekers. We're only going to work with customers from now on. And so if I were to list anything, it'd probably be that.
Yeah. I mean, those are two really good examples right there. These were things that you were tinkering with. And then once you, it just kind of put it out there, and then you go, oh, I wasn't expecting that kind of response. And then you double down on that and give it more energy and attention, which is always a good thing. And by paid launches versus freebie seekers, do you mean people just seeking free advice to help them launch their course?
Yeah. Like people who sign up for free webinars or free challenges, but never do with the stuff that they sign up for, and it just sits there and collects digital dust. We just didn't want to continue to give our energy to that anymore. They are the neediest, the biggest complainers, the lowest converting, and we're just like, screw it, this sucks. And so we started putting a paywall in front of it. So to attend or participate in our 5-day challenges, which we then called boot camps, it was $37. And that just one little thing just changed so much for us, because one, we got less people signing up for it, but they were wildly qualified. They showed up, they were super engaged, they converted at a crazy high clip, and it just felt better. Like they were more aligned with who we wanted to work with. And so that in itself, like once we realized the difference between freebie seekers and those who actually put up some cash to participate in something, that was like early 2020, we were done with anything free after that. We're like, peace, freebie seekers. And so now all of our stuff just kind of attacks that model. It just is as polarizing as possible to really make our point known around that.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
No. Goodbye. Would not want to be ya.
Yeah, no, that's like, that is. It's, I think quality over quantity is always better.
Always.
And then the quantity, you're wasting time with all these quantity. Your time is precious. Time is money. So why not just get the ones that are real serious? Mm. So, yes, all good thinking there with that. So listen to what Jill is saying, guys. Like, what, you know, your time, your energy is valuable. And you'll only want to spend it with those that value your time and your energy. And by filtering it down, this whole theme of the conversation for me is just the mastering the art of filtering down to your ideal client, which is like the overarching theme for your guys' whole experience, from going multi affiliates to like right here we're serving these very super specific this and this. You know, the Millionaire Girls Club is just for this. The other ones are just for this and this. And then forget the rest, because it doesn't matter anyway. It's like when people, I was thinking about this the other day, like when people unsubscribe from a newsletter, the initial reaction is to be upset. But then when, if you think about it, it's like, well, if they don't want to hear what I have to say, then they shouldn't be on the list anyway. It's like wasting time. They should, you only want people that want to hear from you.
Of course. And I think, really, it's only emotional when you're like at the beginning and you're like, oh my God, someone unsubscribed. But once you're rolling, like, you don't even notice who unsubscribed, or like, I mean, I don't pay attention to who unsubscribed or how many people or anything like that. It's just not even a focus for me.
So, as we're actually getting close to wrapping things up. So what inspired you to be in the business and pursuing the business ventures that you are right now? And you touched on it earlier. Basically, it's just typical stuff is not for you. You're atypical. You're special. Mm.
Yeah, just not, well, not special. I just chose to not live this conventional, static, boring, normal kind of life. For others, it might really work for them. Maybe, you know, like, I know a lot of people who want to have jobs because they like the predictability and the stability and the security and the safety. That's just not for me at this current stage of my life, and I don't think it'll ever be. But my inspiration for MGC specifically was most certainly my desire to create powerful relationships with women who are changing the game in their industry. Like, I want to be around women who match my future. And I know multiple other women who are at that level also want that. They don't want to just like have normal, like disinteresting conversations. They want to be inspired by the women they're around. They want to be around big thinkers, people who value expansion and growth and challenges and, you know, unconventional lifestyles, and want to create opportunities and wealth and alignment in their lives. And so that creating this kind of experience for those kind of women was absolutely my inspiration behind MGC.
Mm. Who inspired you, if anyone, to do what you're doing now?
Honestly, I would say that this is going to sound so cheesy, but my husband was my first like entrepreneurship mentor. Like, I never knew about, I was so green when he was like, we should start a business together. And I was like, yes, what is it? And he's like, we should start an affiliate site. I was like, what's an affiliate site though? Like, I had no clue. I was so green. He taught me everything from the ground up pretty much. And so he was most certainly my first mentor slash inspiration, because when I met him, he was like living in, this sounds so random, my husband's Australian, I'm Canadian, he was living in Beijing, China, and I was about to move to Australia with a girlfriend of mine. And so the way we met was so synchronistic, and he was living this lifestyle that I never even knew was possible, like running online businesses, managing teams, like all of that, making money online. I didn't even know that shit existed back in 2009 is when we met. And so he was most certainly my first bit of inspiration and idea of what's possible, and then he taught me from the ground up pretty much.
Nice. So for those that are listening, find yourself a good partner that can teach you, in or whether it's a business partner or a lifelong partner, like a husband or a wife.
Or hire a coach. Hire a coach, join a program, like get into a mastermind, like do what you need to do to surround yourself with people who are where you want to be. Learn what's working for them. Find the people who have the lifestyle you actually want to have, not the ones who just chase big money but are miserable at the end of it. Who has the business model you want, the lifestyle you want, the friendships you want, the alignment you want, the money you want, like all of that kind of stuff. And then invest in them. Most of my relationships in this space come because, or have come because, I pay for friends. I put myself in the room. I pay to go to masterminds or retreats or events, or I join coaching programs or all of that kind of stuff. I didn't just like get lucky. I've paid multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars to different mentors, coaches, mastermind facilitators, event owners, like all of that, to put myself in the room and be around the kind of people who I wanted to be around. None of this happened by accident. It all happened because I forked out the cash and put myself in the room.
Well, the old saying holds true. It does take money to make money. And everything you've described is all investing in yourself rather than investing in the latest shiny thing that you can buy, put in your pocket or put on the shelf that collects dust. You are investing in the knowledge and connections, which takes you and lasts. Those connections, I'm sure that you've made, most of them are going to last a lot longer than the battery on your cell phone, you know?
That shit runs out all the time.
Exactly. And you don't need battery packs. You can just call your mentor and be like, hey, I need a recharge. And then you're there. So, man, this is great. And now specifically, as we narrow it down to the finish line here, Jill, who inspires you? Who do you look up to? That's what I meant to say. Your husband inspired you, but who do you look up to currently?
I just have a lot of really amazing women in my life right now who all inspire me or encourage me in different areas of my life. And so some people have like marriages that I'm like, oh my God, that's like the next level for Josh and I. Or some women have amazing structures within their families and great relationships with their kids. And I'm like, yes, that is my future with Kai. I mean, Kai's 4, so we're still working on it. But some women are making like tens of millions of dollars. And I'm like, cool, that's mad inspiring for me. But I don't have like one specific person who is like, oh my God, on this pedestal for me. I just really admire and appreciate a lot of different qualities in the different women in my life. And then there's this one chick online who I'm just like, fascinated by what she's been able to do. Her name's Melanie Ann Layer. And just her approach to business, I find fascinating. The way she sells, the way she runs her business, the kind of money she makes. I'm just like, who is this chick and where did she come from? Because it feels like she came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden she's all the rage. And so just people like that who are doing things differently, their own way, and making magic because of it. Like, I love that kind of stuff. I find mad inspiration in that.
Sounds like she's a perfect fit for your next Millionaire Girls Club retreat. Bing.
Goals. She's a Canuck, too, so let's see.
Like how I keep plugging that? I'm slick.
Yes. The slickest.
The slickest. I gotta be in my industry. Lastly now, before we share with the audience how they can find you and follow you, are there any resources that you recommend that people should seek out or connect with, whether it be books, whether it be online, or whether it be in person, where people can learn more about this thing that is creating your lifestyle of your dreams via course creation?
I have a lot of books. I tear through books. So my number one suggestion always and forever is a book called A Happy Pocket Full of Money. It's the weirdest title, and it'll shift your life in such an enormous way. So that is by an author named David Cameron Jocondi. It is the only book he's ever written. I've never found anything else from him. It's like he dropped this like work of art on the world and pieced out. So that is always my number one suggestion, A Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Okay.
Another book suggestion that I absolutely love is called The Mountain Is You. That's by Brianna Weist. So good. That is a life shifter as well. And then Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Oh my God, I have so many. I don't want to go through my Audible because I'll get so distracted. But I am going through my Audible. Hold on. Give me a minute. Okay, hold on. Oh, Rich is... by Amanda Francis, if anyone wants to improve their mindset around money. The Complete Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. That's a great one. Let It Be Easy by Susie Moore. I mean, there's so many. If you're a woman and you have like just a lot of preconceived notions around, you know, how you're supposed to be as a woman, as a female, the relationships you have with your mother, with other friends, your interactions in society in general. I read a book called Discovering the Inner Mother, which was amazing. And then my final suggestion is How We Love by Milan Jurkovic and Kay Jurkovic. And that's all around attachment styles and how we as kids were taught compassion, love, and comfort, and how it impacts our day-to-day relationships. Oh, it is like a mind blower. So those would be my biggest suggestions.
I received many more than I was expecting. So thank you for that. Definitely Jill's a reader, as we found, or a listener too on Audible.
Yeah, definitely.
Saves you a lot of time, I'm sure. Wow. Okay. So I hope you guys were listening, paying attention, maybe taking some notes, because there was a lot that we went through here. And the last note that y'all are going to want to take down is, if any of this resonated with you guys, how can people connect, follow, find Jill Stanton?
Yeah. So the easiest for mine and Josh's stuff, if there's any course creators or coaches who are doing live launches or want to start doing live launches, then our IG is Wealthy Course Creator. And so that's the easiest way to get into our world. And then if you are a woman in business at a certain level, making over $1 million, then my IG is at The Millionaire Girls Club.
At The Millionaire, not millionaires, but millionaire single. Millionaire Girls Club. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. There was a lot that we went through in this amount of time, Jill, and this was a very amazing conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time to hop on the Making Magic podcast and share some of your expertise with my viewers and listeners. And you guys have been watching and listening to another episode of the Making Magic podcast. If you guys are enjoying this stuff, follow the show. Follow me along for the ride. I'm bringing you some of the best creative minds in the business, like the legend that is Jill Stanton, onto the show to share their knowledge with you guys. And if you're watching just on YouTube, feel free to give this a thumbs up, like the video, comment, and subscribe below. You guys know what to do. I don't even have to say this. But this has been an amazing chat. So, Jill, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks, Jill.
Thanks for having me, Sean.